Well, good morning, everybody. It's really lovely to be back with you this morning. And really doesn't feel like that long ago that I was last here. So sorry that you have to see me again so soon. But really lovely to join with you on such an important Sunday, Global Mission Sunday. And just the fact that you have that as part of the calendar and the heart of the church life is just such an encouragement. Certainly for me and a great example to other churches as well. So thank you to Reverend Graham for the opportunity to be back with you. I really don't take that for granted. And just so appreciate your missional heart. As Reverend Graham said, I hope to share a couple of ministry updates, some exciting things that have been happening since the last time we met. So God has been moving, God has been working in response to your prayers as well. And so I want to encourage you with some of that to begin, and then we'll look at that passage that was read just after to think a little bit more about how we can continue to live missionally and think globally as well as a church. So if we flick on to the next slide, just a couple of initial updates. First of all, thank you so much for engaging in Pray for 30 and praying for 30 new workers to be raised up to go and serve in the Muslim world in Jesus' name over the coming years. There's about 20 churches almost involved in this at the moment, and so we're so grateful that you're a part of that and praying for different types of workers. And our prayer always through this for the churches involved is not just that God will raise up new workers to go overseas, but also that he'll empower you where you are on your 9-to-5, day-to-day, Monday to Friday or Monday to Sunday, whether that's in a workplace or perhaps in your family or in your neighborhood or whatever, that God will give you fresh missional opportunities to share about who Jesus is and what he means to you, your own story of how Jesus maybe has changed your life or is working in your life. And I think we love to see that sort of dual thing where it's, yes, praying for workers to go, but also thinking about where are we today, where are we tomorrow, where are we Tuesday afternoon, and how can the Lord use us to be a missional influence there as well. But God is hearing your prayers and the prayers of others as you've been praying. I think I mentioned before that there was a girl that God had raised up right at the beginning of Pray for 30 to go to the Arabian Peninsula for 9 months. She was looking after homeschooling two children of two families over there for 9 months, which was wonderful. And I'm delighted that there's another new family, a family of three, hoping to head out to North Africa next year, early next year as well. So we're not praying for 30 anymore. We're praying for 26, I guess. But really, we're so grateful to the Lord and grateful for people's prayers because he is answering. He is stirring hearts. He is raising up people to go. And I could share a little bit more with you about that family, perhaps in another time and some of the things that they hope to do. But there is an opportunity, perhaps for some of you or someone that you know, if you want to be the next worker or you could encourage someone to do that. This family that's heading out to North Africa, they have a 1.5-year-old, and right at the beginning of their time next year and kind of early into the new year, they'll be really focusing on language learning. And as a result, until their little one's a little bit older to go to the local kind of nursery stuff, they're in need of someone to maybe come out and serve and look after her in a sort of nanny, au pair kind of capacity. So that they can really focus in on language learning for 6 to possibly 9 months, depending. So I just wanted to put that out there, and that might be something that you might be interested in considering, or someone that you might know might have some time and space next year, might enjoy the sunny climes of North Africa for a couple of months and get a summer that we certainly didn't get here this year. So if you'd like to chat to me about that anymore, feel free to get in touch. I would love to talk to you a little bit more about that. And just to give you a little glimpse, you're praying for 30 different types of workers. We do have two other prayer guides which will come over the next couple of years. Next year's one is about praying for 30 cities in the Muslim world, and that's just a little glimpse into it on the your left or whatever it is. Yep. No, you're right. You're right. And then I'm currently working just the bottom left there is the last prayer guide that some other churches are about to go into year three. And that's praying for 30 different people groups, of which the ACT-DAM and the Mahamasheen are a part, which I know many here have been praying for over the years, and so thank you so much for that. So I'm just adding the finishing touches to that, so I'd appreciate your prayers for wisdom and creativity as we do that. A couple of other just quick ministry updates as well. I haven't shared much when I've been here before, but we do have other workers who are serving in some other contexts, both in North Africa and Southeast Africa. Frontiers as a whole has workers right across the world, but folks from here, from across this island, Northern Ireland or the Republic, are serving in some other contexts. And God's really been moving. Some of our guys who've been serving in North Africa for 10 plus years had really seen very, very little tangible fruit in the sense of people coming to faith. But just at Christmas time, just around about Christmas, New Year, they got word of 7 or 8 new believers who weren't just from the same family, but they were from different families, had come to faith. And where they're serving, when they first went there, there was no church at all, nothing like this, no gathering of believers. And now, by God's grace, there are some local leaders who are leading that church. There are new folks coming to faith. And it's great to hear you've been looking at the book of Acts and how just God's Spirit was at work in all kinds of ways. But it's so encouraging to see how God is at work there in North Africa and indeed down in Southeast Africa as folks work more with a more remote kind of tribe there. Again, there have been folks coming to faith there and some baptisms as well. And so we're just grateful to the Lord for what he's doing and how he's using people, sent ones, serving overseas. And again, I could share a little bit more with you about that at another time. Next year is a big year for us as Frontiers Ireland. As I say, Frontiers has been going for over 40 years globally, but Frontiers Ireland was set up in the year 2000 by, some of you may know, Roger, my colleague who I work with, and he set up the Irish office back in the year 2000. So we'll be marking 25 years next year with a few different things. Consider this your invitation to our 25th anniversary event, Lord willing, on the Saturday, the 15th of March. If you all come, I don't know where we'll put everybody, but I'd rather you all come and we do something with that than not. But it'll be a bit of a dinner night, an opportunity just to share some of the stories of God's grace and faithfulness over the years, and also looking forward to the next season, however long the Lord may enable us to continue. We're in a funny position where actually we don't want to be in a job after a while, because we want to see all Muslim people groups have the opportunity to hear about Jesus, and then Frontiers doesn't need to exist. So in one sense, we kind of want to be out of a job, but in the right sense that more people are getting to hear about Jesus. So we don't know how long it will be until all Muslim people groups have the opportunity to hear about Jesus, but we want to continue towards that end to see that everybody gets the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus in their lifetime. So join us next year as we celebrate that, and perhaps I can pass some information through Reverend Graham and through the church about that as well in the coming months. Next year is another big year for another reason as well. As I mentioned, Roger, my colleague, has been involved in the Irish sending base for the last nearly 25 years, and he's felt that it's time for him to step back from that position as we mark our 25th anniversary next March and April. He very graciously asked if I would consider taking over the role from him as sending base director. They were clearly scratching at the bottom of the barrel to get that, but I, after a lot of prayer and interviews and various things, I was delighted to be nominated to take on that role next year, Lord willing, as of the 1st of April. So I feel very honoured to do that. A lot of people are saying they're big shoes to fill, and they are. And my response is usually I'm not going to try and fill them, because I want to be who God has created me to be and trust that the Lord will guide. It's very much felt like a road to Emmaus kind of experience, you know, when Jesus walked with the disciples and just bit by bit journeyed with them and unfolded himself, and they helped to realize later on that it was Jesus who had been guiding them and walking with them all the time. And so it's felt a little bit like that. With every step, I felt a sense of God's grace and peace, and just trusting him for the next season. But I would certainly really appreciate your prayers for myself and for the whole Irish office as we go through these 6 months of transition and then moving into the next season as well. And please do pray for our family. I put up a wee picture. Some of you, I'm not sure if you'll have seen Erica or Daniel or David before, but that's our family. I'd done out, those are our little prayer cards that I'd hoped to have with me. Unfortunately, they weren't delivered on time before this weekend. So apologies about that, but I can maybe send some to you. If you've got some space on your fridge or something, you could remember us. We'd greatly appreciate that as we move forward. And just a last little thing to mention. I don't usually mention about these sorts of things whenever I'm speaking, but just more for your awareness. And maybe if you're into some of these things, a couple of other free resources that might be helpful for you just to keep this missional heart, and particularly hearing about how God's at work around the Muslim world. If you're into podcasts, I'll not do a show of hands to see how many of you are into that or know much about that, but our colleagues and friends in the British Frontiers office, they do a superb podcast called Raw Mission, and it's interviews and conversations and chats with folks who have been overseas and have seen God do lots of amazing things and just lots of really good insights about what it's like to live overseas and all of that sort of stuff. And so if you're into podcasts, check that out for free wherever you would get your podcasts. And also every other month we do a magazine called Encounter, which is great to hear the links with the name Encounter here as well. And yeah, it's just, again, a little bit more information about some of the workers and some of the stuff that's going on around the world, and particularly with some of the workers from across this island. So if you'd like to grab a copy, there's a few in the vestibule today. I left some there. You can sign up for that. There's a couple of wee sheets if you want to grab a copy regularly in hard copy or on email. And we send out a wee weekly prayer email as well. I know what it's like, so don't feel any pressure to sign up for these sorts of things, because sometimes you get 101 emails and you never really read them and then you feel guilty. So don't worry about that. But if you have space, if you would like to find out a little bit more information, we can share more information about how God is working through some of our workers. It's a little bit harder to do that more publicly like this. And so if you want to actually know some of the stuff to be praying into throughout the year, then you'd be most welcome to sign up for that that email as well. So as we turn now just to God's word for the last number of minutes together, I've called this message for this morning Giants, Grasshoppers and God, which is a little bit of an unusual title, but we'll unpack it just as we go along. I'm not sure how much of an observant person you are. I tend not really to notice things. I don't know if it's a guy thing or if it's just a me thing. Sometimes my wife will see something very clearly in the fridge that was just right there and I was looking for it for 5 minutes and couldn't see it. And I tend not to notice details sometimes, but I see more of the big picture. And this week, my wife went to get her haircut. I haven't checked that I should share this story with you, so don't tell her I'm telling you this. But she went to get her haircut this week, and before I got home, she called me, because it had been a while since she'd sort of got her hair done or whatever. So she called me on the phone. We were talking about lots of different things, and then she said, "Just so you know, I've got my haircut today," and she was pretty concerned that I would come home and probably not notice it. So she's like, "I'm just giving you a heads up." And the truth is, she had her hair kind of tied back whenever I got back, so I probably wouldn't have noticed it. So I'm glad that she gave me a heads up just beforehand, and obviously was able to compliment her as beautiful as it was. And but sometimes for me, and maybe for you, sometimes things are right in front of us and we just can't see it. And this is kind of like what happened right throughout Scripture. Actually, very often God calls our attention and calls people's attention to things to really see, not just through the natural eye, but to see with his perspective and his heart. And one of the questions that he asks, if we move on to the next slide, throughout Scripture is very simply that question. And he said this to Jeremiah. He said, "What do you see?" He showed him something and then said, "What do you see?" And as we think about global mission, as we think about the world, it can be so easy, and we were even just chatting earlier on today, with some folks about it. It can be so easy to see all of the really horrible things that are going on. Tomorrow marks 1 year since those horrific attacks on Israeli citizens by Hamas, the subsequent trauma and devastation of tens of thousands of people losing their lives in Gaza, now in Lebanon, not to mention ongoing conflicts in Ukraine, massive displacement in Sudan, Mali, Haiti, Yemen, Taiwan. There are tensions, it seems, and conflicts and challenges in so, so many parts of our world today. And maybe what God is wanting to ask us afresh this morning is, what do you see? What do you see? What's his vision? What's his perspective as we look at our world? And you see in Numbers 13 and in the passage that we read today, there were 12 people that were sent out. And some people, most of the people, saw the giants. They saw the things that were too big for them, the things that made them fearful, that made them anxious, that made them scared. They also saw themselves as grasshoppers. They said, when we look at ourselves, they were so focused in on ourselves that all they could see was how small they were or how big the problems were. But there was two people, just two of 12, who saw things differently, Caleb and Joshua. They didn't deny the challenges that they saw, but they saw them through the lens of their trust and faith in God. I love this verse in Numbers 14, verse 24, that God speaks about Caleb, if we can flick on. It says, because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. What an amazing privilege and promise. So as we just begin to wrap up a few thoughts around this, what can we learn from Caleb's example? What was it that he made him have this different spirit, this different perspective that enabled him, not only him to inherit the land, but also for others, his future generations, to do so as well? First of all, God's promises shaped their lives and their perspective. Numbers 13, verse 1 and 2, if you have it open there, says, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan. Here's the amazing promise, which I am giving to the Israelites. See, there was a promise not just to these people, but even for centuries before, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. God had promised to bless the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was a done deal. And Caleb and Joshua simply believed this promise was true. They believed that the promise of God was bigger than the people or the problems or the issues. And for us, as we think about global mission, well, we still have promises today, don't we? Why do we pray for new workers to go? Why do we pray for unreached people groups to be reached? Because we know we have the promise of Revelation 7:9, that one day every nation and every people, even though they don't presently know about Christ, one day there will be a representation around God's throne from all of these people groups. We haven't seen it yet, just like Caleb hadn't seen the fulfillment of God's promise. But as we let God's promises orient who we are and how we pray and what we do, it begins to change how we see things. And suddenly Caleb saw the stuff, all the challenges, he saw in light of the promises of God. And God is honored with that kind of faith. Second thing is that they trusted God's power rather than their own. And we were singing about that God is building a people of power. It's not our power, it's not our strength, but it's his power, it's his enabling. Numbers 14, verse 9, he encouraged the Israelites and says, don't be afraid of the people of the land. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. They knew that the battle for the land was not going to depend on their might or strength. It was God's battle. It was God's fight to win. Sometimes they were going to actually fight. Sometimes they were going to march around a city in faith and in obedience and worship, and walls would come tumbling down. But whatever it was, they stepped out believing that it was God's power that was going to make the difference. And that's the whole story of Acts, isn't it? It wasn't these ordinary people. It was the Spirit enabling them, empowering them to speak and to be bold and to be led and to see many folks come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The third thing that really impacted them was that they demonstrated true spiritual leadership. Now, you maybe notice from Numbers 13 that it was leaders that God sent into the land. He said in verse 1 and 2, send some men to explore the land. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. Send one of its leaders. So these were not just inconsequential people. They were influencers. They were people who carried responsibility where they were. And yet for some reason, only two of them came back seeing things through God's perspective rather than through their own fear. And it was being led by God's Spirit. It was being people of a different spirit that was what made all the difference. And of course, we see this in the life of Jesus, don't we? Everything that he did, how he reacted to people, how he treated people, how he loved the unlovely and the outcasts, how he touched lepers and people that nobody else would, how he hung out with tax collectors. He had a different perspective, a different spirit because of his relationship with his Father. And that's what the world needs to see more and more in these days, is people, churches, ordinary everyday people like you and me, who live from a different center, who live by the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. And maybe one of the greatest contributions that you can give and things that you can do towards global mission this year is simply allowing the Lord to lead you more and more by his Spirit, wherever he has you. Perhaps to follow those little promptings to encourage someone, or to send that text, or to reach out to that person, or to share a scripture verse or your story or testimony, whatever, with someone, to just allow the Spirit to lead you. And you might be surprised at how he works in people's lives as you do that. And finally, as I finish, and the last thing just to mention about this story with Caleb, how they were able to see things with a different perspective, it was this short-term mission that had a long-term impact for generations to come. I want to encourage you that with these wonderful Samaritan's Purse boxes, or with the investment with AsiaLink, I know Stephen and those guys will be great this evening, definitely come. As we invest in some things, as you're investing in prayer and in all of these other things, God can impact not just this generation, but the generations to come. These 12 men were away for 40 days, and it was life-changing for all of them. Sadly, 10 of them, because of their lack of faith, would never go into that land again. But Joshua and Caleb would, and their descendants as well, would inherit the land. And I just want to encourage you, perhaps particularly some of you who are parents or maybe older in the faith, I want to encourage you, don't give up praying. Don't give up praying for mission. Don't give up praying for your families. Don't give up praying and investing in the generations to come. Because what you're sowing, even in short-term things that feel small, God can use to have these ripple impacts for the future generations to come, both here and across the world. So this Global Mission Sunday, and in this year ahead to come, may the Lord help us, help me, help us to be people of a different spirit, who as we continue to pray, as we continue to step out and see things in the world through God's perspective and respond accordingly, not just seeing giants or seeing ourselves as grasshoppers, but seeing God and giving our fresh yes to Jesus, then his promise, and this is another promise I want to leave with you. He said that when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. And so we can trust that as we look to him, that he will continue to draw people from every nation and tribe and language to himself as we continue to play our part. So the Lord bless you in that and give you wisdom in that and guidance in that. Let me just pray for us. Father, thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for this story of people who went out, Lord, who were able to see with your eyes, with your heart, not just what was, but what could be. And I pray you'd encourage this dear praying church. Thank you so much for their prayers, for unreached people groups. Thank you so much for their prayers, for new workers. Thank you for how you are answering those prayers. You're sending people out, Lord, short and long term to serve. And would you just continue to help us all to find our place, to see the world through your eyes, through your lens, through your perspective. And prayer is such the key part in all of that. So, Lord, help us as we continue to look to you. Be glorified, Lord Jesus, through all that is heard on this global mission Sunday. And, Father, be glorified in the nations as a result of us partnering with you and your spirit and being led by you in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.